This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to talk with Dane Brugler about team building in the draft, college football. The segment is brought to you by the Frankels at 1-800-LAWYERS. If you suffer a personal injury due to somebody's negligence, call our friend Scott Mark Frankel, 1-800-LAWYERS, the official lawyers of the Tolo, principal office, Dallas, Texas. And here he is from theathletic.com and from the Trust the Tape podcast. It's Dane Brugler here on The Fan. And morning, Dane. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How's Surprise doing?
Oh, it's cool, man. It's great. We saw your tribe here yesterday taking on the Royals.
Nice. It's going to be a little bit of a different year for the Indians, but in that central, they should be okay. They should be in good shape, but I need to figure out a way to lock up Frankie Lindor before he gets he's going to be looking for that big contract.
So, Dane, who is the Trevor Bauer in the draft this year when it comes to NFL football?
Who's the weird guy?
Yeah.
Is there a weird guy in this draft, Dane?
Well, I don't know if this draft necessarily has one, but Josh Rosen from last year is kind of like that, where they think differently, you know, like they're very analytical. They're very, they think they're the smartest people in the room. Doesn't matter what room they're in. And so they just have a different outlook on life. And that started with their upbringing and just how they, grew up. And so, I think Josh Rosen, and that's the reason why his market's going to be so tough to peg. If the Cardinals end up going Kyler Murray and end up trading Josh Rosen, he's just not going to be for everybody. And we know with Trevor Bauer, he's immensely talented. He understands his craft better than anybody. But he just, it rubs people the wrong way. And it's obviously different when talking about a starting pitcher in baseball compared to a quarterback in the NFL in terms of what your expectations are in terms of leadership and how they affect the locker room. But I think Josh Rosen, I mean, that's a perfect comparison. I think, and they're both UCLA guys, I believe.
It's Dane Brugler with us. So you still have Kyler number one after his pro day and all that?
Yeah, and listen, nothing's more overrated during the draft process than a quarterback pro day. Scripted throws in a controlled environment. No defense, no pass rush. You're throwing to your guys that you've been throwing to the last few years. So, Kyler looked good. He threw about 70, had about 70 passes, showed off, his footwork in the pocket, showed off his ability to, make the deep throws, out throws, did everything. And there weren't any surprises. We know he has a special arm. He can whip the ball anywhere he wants, and he's a naturally accurate thrower. The bigger question is, okay, how did he do that when he's facing, the Alabamas of the world week in, week out in the NFL? How is that going to, affect that decision-making? Does he still have that, little bit of spontaneous magic to him? So I think, if you liked Kyler Murray going into the pro day, you certainly do after. And if you had questions, you still have those questions. But, it's funny, just, the more and more talking to people, leaving the combine, it's Kyler number one to Arizona has become kind of the consensus, at least among teams. Like, that's what they're starting to expect to happen. And the Cardinals, they weren't at his pro day. They'll have a private workout with them. And at this point in the process, we're still over a month out. Kyler Murray is the favorite to be the top pick this year.
So, Dane, with the Cowboys, if they get to 58, and if that is the first time they end up picking in the draft, and they're looking for defensive line help, I know it's a lot of fun to talk about the Nick Bosas and the Quinnen Williams of the world, but when you're getting towards the end of the second round, who do you think are some of the premier defensive line names to know for Cowboy fans?
Yeah, we'll use premier loosely when we're talking about late
second-rounders. Premier late second-rounders.
Right. We talked about one of the guys that I know you like a lot, LJ Collier from TCU, who it seems
terrible like combine. He's trying to break my heart.
Well, yeah, 6'2", 283 pounds, 7'7", 1" in the three cone. That's abysmal. The jumps weren't anything impressive, 4.91 in the 40. So, I think he just – maybe he's a Cowboys fan. He wants to make sure he's available at 58.
There you go. There you go.
But, he's a guy who's a little bit of an ascending player. He – you know, came from, he's a Texas guy. He wasn't a starter until his senior year, and things started to click. He started to figure things out. Doesn't have the most bend as an edge rusher, but he does a really nice job with his forward lean. He can use his length, create movement with that momentum off the snap. So I think LJ Collier's in that mix to be in that late second, early third round mix. There's a few conversion guys that I don't think they're going to fit necessarily what the Cowboys want. Guys like Chase Winovich from Michigan, DeAndre Walker from Georgia. I think Anthony Nelson from Iowa is an interesting name. He's more of your base end. He's 6'7", 270 pounds. He's a big boy. Really long arms, 35-inch arms, but he understands how to use them. He'll beat up blockers. He's not going to be that speed rusher who can capture the edge and be a factor speed-wise. Another guy to know is Zach Allen from Boston College. And that's a guy I've heard that the Cowboys like. 6'4", 280 pounds, another guy with long arms, 34¾-inch arms. Not a premier athlete, but he's really smart against the run. He can draw, panel himself in space. He can reduce inside and help you out as an interior player on passing down. So I think Collier, Zach Allen, Anthony Nelson, these are the type of, if we're looking for an edge rusher at the end of the second round, I think those are the names to know.
Are there any guys that you look at going into this draft that could potentially be sliders, and knowing the Cowboy needs, that you would consider saying, hey, it might make sense for them to find a way to jump up into the first round and get them?
Well, I think the safeties, when we look at the safety group, it's going to be interesting to see the order they come off the board. And if one of the safeties that the Cowboys really like, if they're still available, say in the early second round, would they make a move to go get them? I don't think any of these safeties are necessarily guaranteed in the first round. I love Nasir Adderley from Delaware, Taylor Rapp from Washington. Both could easily go in the top, 30 picks, but they're not guaranteed. I could see one or both falling to the second round. Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State is another one. Really like Abram. He flies around. He's a Keanu Neal type of player. 5'11", 205 pounds. He's going to fly around. He's going to hit you. Not the most. They're talking about anticipation in the passing game. He's not really that type of player, but he's going to run the alley. He's going to run and hit, and he's a tempo setter for your defense. So Jonathan Abram, if he's still available in that early to mid second round, could be a candidate to move up. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida, another one. And this is a guy who was signed at Florida as a corner, played free safety, played strong safety, then this past year played the star role in that Gators defense, where he's basically a nickel, and that's where he really shined, using that speed, using that aggressiveness. I think there's a lot to like with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So this safety group is really interesting. Throw Juan Thornhill in there as well from Virginia. If there's one of these safeties maybe the Cowboys prefer over the others and they would fall, say, around pick 40, would they maybe package 58 and a third rounder or something else to go up and get one of these safeties? I think that's certainly possible.
If you were Dave Gettleman, first, it would mean you're bad at your job. But second, it would mean you're running the Giants and you have two first-round picks. To you, does it make all the sense in the world to call up the Cardinals and give up one of them for Josh Rosen?
Yeah, it does, and it makes almost too much sense. I don't know what the Giants are doing, and Giants fans can try as much as they want, but they cannot justify the Odell Beckham trade as – a positive step to what this Giants team wants to be, because they traded him for below market value. And, you have to really do some mental gymnastics to try and justify the return they got, because it was a fleecing. And, having the 6th pick and the 17th pick in the first round is great. And if they wanted to, they could package those picks to go up and get maybe Dwayne Haskins in the top 5. Maybe you call the Cardinals about that 17th pick and say, listen, it's yours if you want to give it Josh Rosen. So I think they do have options now, but it took giving up your best player to do so, and that's just, it's not good practice in the NFL. And put it this way, they did not need to get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. to find their quarterback and take that next step in their succession plan after Eli Manning. But, yeah, I think I would be calling the Cardinals, and unless the Redskins are willing to give up, say, pick 15, which I doubt it, seems like they're kind of content going into the next season with Case Keenum and Colt McCoy as their starters, and as they wait until Alex Smith comes back from injury. But if I'm, you know, if I'm the Cardinals and I'm get offered the 17th pick, I'm not going to get anything better than that. So yeah, I would jump at that offer. Now Giants, I think it's, you know, we'll have to see what they do. Do they try and go up to get a Dwayne Haskins? Do they maybe stay at 17 and draft Daniel Jones from Duke at that point? The Giants are a tough team to understand right now, and I think that's going to continue on draft day.
Dane Brugler's with us here on 105.3 The Fan. How do you start to evaluate Eric Berry's value as he hits free agency if you're in an NFL front office right now?
Yeah, so much depends on the medicals, and that's where you know, the NFL, when it comes to the medical information, it's a really open process. At least that's my experience in terms of teams sharing information. The doctors are really friendly, and that starts at the combine. You know, doctors, the trainers, they're really open with each other in terms of, okay, this guy's got this, this guy's got that. And that continues into the NFL, you know, being open about what kind of injuries they have. And, you know, it's something that with Eric Berry, it's going to take a lot of investigation because he's played in 3 games the last 2 years. You know, he's had a history of, you know, getting dinged up, but you know what, if you look at his kind of his history, he, you know, start 2 games or be a full-time starter for 2 seasons, then he'd be out 1 year. Full-time starter for 2 seasons, then he's out 2 years. He's due to be healthy this year. You know, yeah. If he can stay on the field, that's great. But, again, we're talking about a guy that's over 30 years old. He's entering year 31 age of his career. And those guys tend to break down. But if I can get him on a 2-year deal for, you know, a decent money, maybe incentive-laden contract. Just trying to figure out his market's going to be tough to peg because safety is a position that a lot of teams are looking for. But Eric Berry, and we know what kind of impact he can make when he's healthy, it's just he's rarely healthy, and teams are going to look at that differently.
Dane, how long is too long to hold on to a draft crush? I'm trying to go get Timmy Jernigan.
Well, another guy, factor in the injuries. What's going on? You know, the Eagles, they shocked him a little bit, and they couldn't get any takers, so they just cut him. And so, you know, what's going on with the injuries with him? And it's not a surprise that anybody was going to trade for him, trade for that contract. But, you know, I certainly understand why you had the crush, and we saw that in Baltimore. We saw that when he first got to Philadelphia. It's just what the long-term prospects for him. Can he still play with the same type of power? Can he still play, you know, be that same disruptor that we saw when he was healthy? And that's something that you really depend on the medical staff and the training staff to get that information and give you a clear picture of what the next 2 or 3 years are going to look like in his career.
Would you advise the Cowboys at this point with DeMarcus Lawrence that, hey, either what's the saying, either take a number 2 or leave the potty? Either make an offer that's acceptable and get this thing done, or figure out what you're going to do without him and move on from it.
And I'd love to know what, you know, what offers are they putting out there that Lawrence and his people are just saying, no, not good enough. Or, you know, what are they countering with? Excuse me. What are they countering with that the Cowboys are, you know, balking at? Because, you know, we'll see what Justin Houston gets on the open market. We'll see what, you know, we saw what D Ford got with the 49ers. You know, Khalil Mack, you know, there's a lot of these big-time pass rush contracts out there. Does DeMarcus Lawrence want to be the highest paid? Does he want to be comparable with those guys? I mean, he deserves to be paid like it. So we're going to see what he's going to be asking for. But if I'm the Cowboys, you got to get this done because he's going to be on your team. You're not letting him go. And so it just matters if you're going to really play hardball and call his bluff about sitting out the season, or is he a guy that, you know, if he means as much to your franchise as you said and you're really serious about taking that step, it's time to get this done. And I would hope sometime between now and the summer that's what happens, but who knows.
The Cowboys did just make a signing, so Dane, give us your scouting report from 4 years ago or from more currently of Texans defensive tackle Christian Covington,
formerly of Rice, who was a, you know, a later round pick, not a high pick, but you know, he settled in well with the Texans scheme. He played a little bit of inside, played a little bit of outside. He's got a little bit of that versatility because he's a big guy, but he moves well. He's got good length, so that's a good depth signing. You know, kind of that Tyron Crawford type of mold where, you know, he could play a little bit outside if you want, but I'm guessing he's more interior depth for what the Cowboys like to do on their front. So, but I think he's a little interchangeable with the, if you want to play him inside as a one or a nose, he can do that. Or if you want to kick him to the three technique, he can give you a little bit of value there. So strictly a depth signing, but that's the type of addition that makes your defensive line better.
Dane, last question. How much would you pay for your kid to go to Rice?
Well, I don't know. I saw Keegan the other day. He was really working on those puzzles. I'm really hoping that there's a scholarship in his future, so I don't have to worry about that.
Engineering school or something. Sounds
like. Yeah, there you go.
Make him a fake crew athlete, fake rower. That'd be pretty cool. I like it. See you, Dane. Love you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.